But I can think of many things that could potentially qualify for you. And so I'll give you some ideas, but just I want you to think on that and write that down for yourself. But you could do things like read 30 minutes, spending 30 minutes a day in the Bible, scripture, working out, doing cardiovascular workouts every single day, eating better. In other words, putting together a diet that makes sense for your body, right? Getting involved in self-development, spending 30 minutes a day on self-development books. Committing yourself to being a better listener by each day you focus on listening and analyzing your listening that you've done. On the end of the day, looking back at how you listened to people in your life, so you increase. So there are just all these, I mean, you can go on and on and on, but this is for you to pick one thing you could do that if you did on a regular basis would make a tremendous positive difference in your personal life. Spending more time, dedicating, you know, a half hour a day of quiet time with your spouse. That's a huge thing to make. Okay, so again, there's many of them, but I want you to choose them. The second thing, question to ask yourself, is what one thing in your business would bring similar results? In fact, in other words, make a tremendous positive difference in your business, your Manatech business. What one thing in your Manatech business would bring, would produce tremendous positive results if you did it every day of your life on a regular basis? And on this question, of course, we all can write down probably prospect more, spend 2 extra hours prospecting, or, you know, commit yourself to talk to at least 3 new people every day, whatever that looks like, because it truly is the number one thing that's hurting people's Manatech business today. I'm in the industry all day. I travel all the time. I'm out there doing trainings, teachings all across the country. The number one problem, people failing to share. They just don't share. So we just don't share enough. So what does that mean? You know, so that's something you can look at. There might be other things in your business, but pick up one thing that if you did on a regular basis could have a tremendous impact on your business. Okay, now you've written those down on the outline, so hang on to those. We'll get back to them later. All right, now let's look at management. Management here, when we talk about putting first things first, you got to understand what the first things are. But management is breaking down the analysis, the sequencing, the specific application, the time-bound left-brain aspect of effective self-government. So it's really about discipline. It comes from disciple, which disciple means that your disciple is a disciple to a set of principles to an overriding purpose. Integrity is fundamentally the value we place on ourselves. It's our ability to make and keep commitments to ourselves. Integrity is fundamental value we place on ourselves. And when I think about integrity and I think about, you know, keeping true to self, which is really what integrity is about, true to your word, true to yourself. So many areas in that, and that's required in self-management. I mean, if you're not true to yourself, it's going to be hard to manage yourself because you're not going to keep agreements with yourself. And I see that happen a lot, even in all my coaching that I do with people. Some of the forms I use are war planners and other things that I have people turn in. When I didn't begin to tell you how many war planners I get, it's kind of like war planner is really about what you're willing to do during the week. You know, that's what the war stands for, willing, action, ready. So willing, action, ready. So it's about what are you willing to do during the week? What are your commitments to yourself that you're going to accomplish? And I can't begin to tell you how many times people sign up 2 new people or sign up 4 new people. And you know what? At the end of the week, they haven't signed up 1. But boy, that next war planner the next week will come out and it'll say, sign up 2 new people. And it's just like every time they do that, what I'm going to tell you that happens, so when you make those commitments to yourself and at the end of the week you haven't done it, is it because you couldn't have done it? Absolutely not. Any one of you who make a commitment to sign up 2 people a week, I guarantee you, you can do it. It's not a concept of whether you're capable of doing it or whether it's there to be had. So whether you're going to, are you truly, truly committed to making it happen? But every time you make the commitment on a war planner or something, and then you don't accomplish it at the end of the week, all you're doing is you're reinforcing that whole program that's running you. I'm not worthy. I'm not capable. When you're not worthy, because if you can break commitments to yourself, all you're doing is screaming in your own ear saying you're not worthy. It's one of the worst things you can do is break commitments to yourself. And you're the number one person you break agreements with. But again, all you're doing is reinforcing that bad program running your life, which is I'm not worthy. Because you can negotiate and rationalize why, well, it's just a commitment I made to myself. It doesn't matter. what does it matter if I break a commitment to myself? I'm going to tell you, people, it matters huge. It changes the whole heart. Your whole subconscious is moved. All of a sudden, agreements to you are unimportant. You're losing integrity. It's not, you're not putting value on yourself. So learn from that. That's critically important for you to keep agreements with yourself. Critically important, because it's the whole inside you, what you are made of, and it's all about self-worth. So integrity is a value placed in ourselves. It's our ability to make and keep agreements to ourselves and walk our talk. That's what it's about. E.M. Gray, there's a great quote in there, and I wanted to, you know, I put that in the outline because I thought it was so super. He said, the successful person has a habit of doing the things failures don't like to do. Successful people don't like doing them either, necessarily, but their disliking of whatever that thing is subordinated to the strength of their purpose. Huge statement. What that tells you is successful people do things they don't necessarily want to do every day of their life, but they do them because they see that their purpose, their direction, their compass in life requires them to get done. So it doesn't matter what I want to do or don't want to do on a daily basis. I do things because it's directionally correct for me to do them to accomplish a greater purpose. And the strength of my purpose overrides any feeling, any emotional state that I might have on a day in and day out basis. So what I'm saying is you need to do things in a value system rather than a function of the impulse or desire at any given moment. And some of you can look at this and say, well, Mary Jo, are you saying that spontaneous isn't good? And I'm going, no, it's not that spontaneous is bad. It's just when you want to be spontaneous in your life, always have the compass in mind. You know, promoters, like I fall in that personality or behavior quadrant, we tend to be exceedingly spontaneous. We tend to be able to make decisions very quickly, but always have the compass in mind. Always have the compass in mind. So the spontaneity doesn't take you off track. So spontaneous just means you're not going to be like an analyst who might have to plot it out for 4 weeks before they make a directional. The promoter might be able to make a directional change and 10 minutes, but we always, at the core of our decision-making is always going to be the compass, not going to be an emotional state. It's not an emotional response. It's not just an impulsive thing. Okay? All right, so those are important factors to know. So first things first, and getting clear with ourselves what are first, and making sure that, you know, we stay in integrity, we discipline ourselves, we come from a state of, you know, making commitments to ourselves and keeping those commitments to ourselves so we're really truly talking our talk and walking our talk at the same time. Time management, let's talk, because that's what it's about. Management of self is about managing time, because that's all we have. That's our only limited asset. We need to manage our time. What are we dedicating first things first? Come to the core of managing our time. And managing our time is about organizing and executing around priorities. And he did a historical view over how people have managed time in the past. And he looked at three generations of time management. The first one was like people would do notes and checklists. And some of you still operate that way. You'll make checklists and you'll check off what you do, and then the next day comes along. The second generation got a little bit more sophisticated. They started planning calendars and appointment books, so there was even more. So you could structure in the future. So you put calendars, appointment books, deadlines, dates, all those kind of things. The third generation of time management was efficiency focused. In other words, daily planning was tied to goals and goals tied to values. So you really were totally focused on being totally efficient. And everything had to be tied back. So unlike the prior generations, which weren't tied to larger goals, daily planning became tied to bigger goals and the short-term goals were tied to our long-term goals and tied to our values so that we are being most efficient as possible. And some of us focused on this for a long time. I know that was my direction for a number of years. It was totally efficiency-focused. But what happened in that third generation is people found relatively quickly that when we get so tied into efficiency, we leave out a major factor of our life. In fact, I'll suggest to you the most important factor in our life, which is relationships. When you get so efficiency-focused, you leave out relationships. We tie ourselves so much into results and so much things that we fail on relationships, and relationships are one of the most important things we have, if not the most important thing we have in our lives, is relationships. So a new generation has now evolved in time management, and it's a challenge. It's a challenge not to manage our time necessarily, but rather manage ourselves. So looking at managing time from a perspective of preserving relationships and accomplishing results. So the focus shifts to preserving relationships and accomplishing results, not exclusively goals and, you know, efficiency. It's more of an effectiveness. I like to compare the two. One's efficiency, the other's effectiveness. So it's efficiency with effectiveness. In other words, you still are focused on accomplishing results, but preserving relationships is a major factor of that accomplishing the results in mind. That's the fourth generation of time management. The essential focus is on the time management. Maybe now is kind of dig in and look at time management matrix looks like. And all of us, this can apply. Oh, it's just huge. So if you look at the last page of the outline, you can see what Lydia's put on there. She copy-pasted it on our outline for today, which is great. It's called the time management matrix. And every single activity in our life, every single one, fits in one of the four quadrants. And there are two different factors that decide which quadrant. You can see if you look at the time management matrix on the right-hand side, it says not urgent. So both sides are, that whole side on the right side is not urgent. That's quadrant 2 and 4. And quadrant 1 and 3 are urgent. So you have urgent versus non-urgent. And then the top line is important versus not important. And we know what urgency is, right? Everybody understands urgent. So let's just define it for everybody. Urgent means it requires immediate action. Urgent things act upon us. The problem with urgent things is it's very hard to be proactive with urgent things, isn't it? It's not about proactive, it's about reactive. We immediately throw ourselves into a reactive state instead of proactive. So right away, that should be a red flag for you. Urgent things tend to act upon us instead of us acting upon them. So we become reactive versus proactive. What creates urgent in our life? I'm going to suggest that things that create urgency are our failures to plan, our procrastination, our wishing something would just disappear. You ever have that thought in your mind? Specifically in this area, I'll just mention the IRS. Some people just wish it disappears, you know, or you get stuff in the mail about, you know, somebody garnishing your wages or putting a lien on your bank account, and you just ignore it because you just hope it goes away. You know, it's not dealing with things as they come up. It's not tackling the things we dread to tackle. All of these kind of things in our lives, when you start operating from this direction, you're going to create massive urgency in your life. And urgent is not effective because it's never can you be proactive about urgency. You're always in a reactionary mode. You're in a reactionary mode. You have to take action immediately. Some of you, your whole life, you've been programmed. You don't even start operating until something becomes urgent. And I'm going to ask you to take a look at that because you're not being very effective in life. You're not creating. You're totally denying the imagination, the creative side of your life because you don't ever have time to do it. You're always stuck and urgent. So urgent is that area kind of that we go, oh, my gosh, the stress level, everything else. Importance is the other category that the quadrants are divided upon. So we have urgent and non-urgent, and then we have important and unimportant. Important has to do with results. If the activity contributes to your mission, your vision, your values, that is when it becomes important. Does the activity contribute to your mission, your vision, your values? So you see how important it is that we have to recognize what's important to us before you can even ever decide what quadrant it fits in. You could be wallowing all over the earth, never knowing because you don't have a definition of what your core values are. What is your vision? What is your mission? What are your core values? Without that, again, you don't have the compass that's leading your life, that's directing your life. You're going north, east, south, and west all at the same time. So you have to have that personal mission statement must be something, it's got to be principle-centered, it's got to be based on principles that are critically core important to you, and that gives you the decisions on what is important, what's not important. So let's look at each one of these quadrants and talk about what they are in our lives and then look at what they are in for a Manatech person, because I think it's important to understand them. So quadrant one, the first one is urgent and important. Now, we want things to be important in our life, but do we want them to be urgent? And if you look at the activities in the time management matrix, you can see that things that are urgent and important are typically crises, pressing problems, deadline-driven project. Those are the activities that you're going to find in urgent and important. Urgent are visible things. They press us and stress us. Important is important because we value them in accordance with our core value, our vision. But the crises and the problem situation is what keeps us stressed out. They dominate us. And what happens when we get into crisis mode and we get into urgent mode is that these problems keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. A huge problem comes up, knocks you down like a wave. You pull yourself back up and only to get blindsided by yet another huge wave. So you just keep getting knocked down, knocked down, knocked down. You live your whole life like that. What are your results in life? You're stressed out, you're burned out, you're in crisis management all the time, you're always pulling things out of the fire. But what is crisis management in Manatech? Oh, things like losing business builders, losing a major builder, you know, losing people that you started prospecting, being disorganized, you know, double scheduling things, forgetting to show up at meetings, failing to, you know, email back or respond to people, dropping things in the cracks. We talk about that a lot in our business, don't we? Things get dropped in the trash. Let's say you got a brand new person to enroll and you fail to enroll them. You put it off, procrastinate, you create crises. All those things can be crises in our life. Other things can be crises like the skin serum or the 2020. You can view that as crises, but we're going to talk about those later. Most of the crises we create in our Manatech business, who creates the crises? We do. We do. And we create them for a lot of different reasons. Procrastination, disorganization, all those things. They breed crises. When I go into people's homes and they see the way they're doing their business, sometimes it just gives me the biggest headache. Because it's like, do you get it that this is a nightmare because you create it that way. You're choosing not to be structured. You're choosing not. That's why I put that CD out there about how to build systems in your Manatech business. Having systems so that you structure your life is going to help support you unbelievably because it gets things out of the crisis mode. You're tackling things. When you lose a big business builder in your downline, you just don't lose them. People just don't go away. You can look back and say, okay, how did I lose that person in my business? How did they go and start selling Mona V or something else instead, right? They just didn't happen. Typically, it happens because look back and say, how was I supporting them? How was I stepping in their lives to be the leader I need to be to help them and support them grow their business? Where was the failure? Where was the breakdown? Where did I not put time in terms of what? Preserving the relationship. You preserve the relationship. You make a dedication to relationships and building relationships with people in your organization. And what are you going to do? Reduce the crises that occur. But when you don't make a commitment to building relationships, people, you're going to lose people. They're going to drop out. They're going to go different because there's no loyalty. There's no commitment to relationships. There's no continuity. There's no fluidity. There's no belief system built. You're just losing all that because you're not stepping up to the plate to be the leader you need to be. So you can see how we trigger things falling into the urgent quadrant. Let's look at the other urgent quadrant, which is quadrant number 3. Remember the first one we talked about, urgent and important. So there are a lot of things that are important to us that become urgent, but we're the ones that typically trigger it, and then we get stressed, burned out, and we are constantly pulling ourselves out of the fire. That's not an effective way of operating. Quadrant 3 is urgent, same thing that they're pressing us, stressing us. We have immediacy of things. But not important. How do we get stuck in that? Oh, my gosh. Most people in quadrant 3, urgent and not important, think they're in quadrant 1. And why is that? It's because they're reacting to things assuming they're very important. But the real situation is that the urgency of the matters is often based on priorities or expectations of other people. So it's not so much that they're urgent to you, important to you, but they're important to somebody else, and you're allowing somebody else's level of importance on them dictate to you why they're important to you. I'm going to suggest to you that the whole crises around the 2020 thing fits in this quadrant. If you don't put importance on 2020, who else is going to put importance on it? And I'm not suggesting to you people not to respond to people in your downline that might bring it up, like my pastor's wife who called me the night it was shown, and I talked to her about it. But I'm not sending things out. I'm not wildly responding. I didn't even watch it because it's not important to me. Why is it unimportant to me? It's unimportant to me because my core values tell me I'm on a mission for wellness in this world. Glyconutrients is a critical missing link in our health and the way we operate. And I don't care what 2020 says. It doesn't matter. They're not going to take me off my course. I was giving an opportunity meeting the night 2020 showed. And I just moved on in life and just kept doing what I always did because, you know what, I'm so convicted along a path of what my mission and purpose is. I'm not going to let what other people might think is important be important to me when it's not consistent with my core values, my principle base, my whatever. So I don't let that trigger and play such a big role in taking me off focus, off compass, because it's not worthy of my attention to do that. What's worthy of my attention is if somebody in my organization says, Mary Jo, I saw this, what do you think about it? And I have a response for them. But that's not tough for me to give. It's like, do you believe everything you see on television? These people came out with a storyline. They wanted to show Manitech preyed on the weak and the, you know, unknowing and that their products are sugar pills. I said, you know, that was the storyline they had. They had that storyline a year ago, and they chose to do the story, so they went out and found, you know, they took things out of context, and they portrayed that rule. You know, you want to believe it? That's what they put it out there for, is the ignorant and unknowing. So doesn't faze me, doesn't shake my belief system, doesn't take me off path, doesn't impact one thing because I'm so core, I'm so structured, I'm so valued, so centered, principle-centered, that that's not going to have that impact in any way, shape, or form. But there are things in our lives that other people put out there that they try to make important for us. You know, you can really see this happen. And how many times are you reacting to crisis that other people are making important for us? Whether it's family members, this is where this whole thing comes about. Remember last week we talked about, are you family-centered? What's your core? What's controlling a lot of your decisions in your life? Family, work, money. What is your center? What is your center of you? And people who are family-centered, they spend a lot of time in quadrant three, because what happens to them is the family members always dictate to them and always make things urgent, even though it's not important to you. It's not in accordance with the vision you have. You're allowing family or other people to control decisions that you make and the time that you allocate. So what are the results of people that find themselves in quadrant three that are working constantly on the results that we show is short-term focus, crisis management, reputation, chameleon character. We see goals and plans as worthless. We feel victimized. A lot of people in quadrant three are always victimized. Why? Why are you victimized when you're in quadrant three? Because other people are dictating to you what's important, but you're succumbing to it. You're giving in to it. You're allowing them to throw you in quadrant three to work on things that are urgent and not important. You're allowing somebody else's sense of urgency to control yours. So you are going to feel victimized because you're giving in to somebody else's dictation for you of what's important when it's not important to you. It's important to them, but not important to you. So you're out of control. You have shallow or broken relationships. If you look at the time management matrix and you look under urgent and not important, you're going to see activities are interruptions, mail, some reports, some meetings, proximate pressing matters, popular activities. Popular activities fall into there a lot because under quadrant three, what they are is they're popular things. Everybody else thinks they're important, but it doesn't fit within the realm of your level of importance. Like watching, I watch people, some people do that. They get into, you know, some of these movies that they watch or shows, you know, they just can't. I see that happen. Oh my gosh, when I go travel around the country and people say, "Oh, Mary Jo, you're not going to have a good show tonight because the Sopranos are on or something." They go, "Everybody's going to be home watching the Sopranos." I don't even know what the Sopranos are. For me, it's, you know, it's part of the choir. We have the alto, sopranos, bass. I mean, but people get so caught up. They make what are you doing in your life? That's important. Is watching the Sopranos, is that something that is in alignment with your core principles and your core values? Is it in alignment with your purpose for being here? So, see, we make decisions based on stuff like that, and it's like, oh, my gosh, let me go back to core. What is my core? Notice, successful people. 7 habits of highly successful people. It's not about those things being important, other people dictating us what's important, or our loss. We get lost in what's important. Okay, so everybody got that. Urgent and not important is one of the quadrants you want to stay out of. Another quadrant you want to stay out of is quadrant 4, which is the quadrant that's called not urgent, not important. Oh my goodness, these are people who choose to be very busy versus be effective. How many of us choose into that on a daily basis? How do we keep busy and not effective in our Manatech business? Let me count the ways. Internet searching, you know, it's just, you know, constantly looking at all the internet stuff, reading emails for all day long, making sure we're at the computer every time somebody sends us an email so we can be prompt in our response. Not urgent, not important. Okay, not urgent, not important. Okay, being on every single training call that's possible out there. I'm keeping busy, not urgent, not important. I'm going off to meetings and not ever taking any prospects. I'm keeping busy. I'm not creating results, but I'm keeping busy. Treating Manatech as a social club. Mary Jo, these are all my friends. Oh, good. So what is your core purpose in life? To have friends? Is that your vision for your life? To have friends. I love the people in Manatech. I absolutely, totally enjoy being around people in Manatech. But it's not my purpose. It's not my vision to be around people in Manatech. I'm on this earth to create something, to create results. And hanging out with Manatechers at meetings just because, and not having anybody there and not growing my business and not creating results and not impacting lives with new health, new wealth is not, you know, I mean, that's not where I'm at. So start looking at how we're keeping so busy versus being effective. We work on things that don't serve us. And we end up in states of total irresponsibility, fired from jobs, dependent on others for our basics, not creating results. We don't have 2 nickels to rub together. Then we start accusing Manatech that it doesn't work. This business doesn't work. Oh, wait a minute, time out. What's our vision and purpose, and have we been putting things, are we operating out of important? Are we working with things that are important in our life, that are supporting our purpose and values and vision? Or are we just hanging out and keeping busy? Whew, that's a tough one. Quadrant 4, very ineffective. And if you look at quadrant 4 under the time management matrix, you're going to see the activities are trivia, busy work, some mail, you do some phone calls, time wasters, pleasant activities. When are we doing that? Is that how are we keeping ourselves busy? But you know what? We're really working hard at our business. We're really keeping busy. Finally, let's get to quadrant 2, which is where we want to live. Quadrant 2 is the heart and core of where you want to live. Where is it? It's important. But not urgent. Important, but not urgent. And if you look at the time management matrix, you're going to see the activities there are prevention, PC activities. Remember we talked about P and P, balancing PC. Relationship building, recognizing new opportunities, planning, recreation. That's what's in quadrant 2. It's about calm. It's about staying on course. It's about being totally directed. It's about planning and strategizing and creating, and it's about making a difference in this. It's huge. It's the heart of effective personal management. Effective people aren't problem-minded. They're opportunity-minded. They feed opportunities and starve problems. They think preventively. Now I want you to go back and look at the 2 questions you answered on page 1. What one thing could you do that if you did on a regular basis would make a tremendous positive difference in your personal life? What one thing? And what one thing in your business would create the same kind of results? What quadrant do those two things fall in on the activity quadrant? Are they quadrant 1, 2, 3, or 4? I'm going to guarantee you that they fit in quadrant 2. Whatever you wrote down on that page, the one thing that can make all the difference in the world are going to fall in quadrant 2. The results out of quadrant 2 is vision, perspective, balance, discipline, control. You're going to limit the crises. I'm not saying you're going to have no crises, because the skin serum was probably a crisis for many of us in our manatech business. So you don't eliminate all crises just because you thrive and live in quadrant 2. It's just you reduce them, and we'll talk about how to shift. How do you shift in operating on a quadrant 2? I gave you a bunch of ideas. First, you have to reduce the size of the other quadrants, especially those in quadrant 1. Get rid of the crises out of your life. Quit allowing other people, quadrant 3, other people telling you what's important and not important. Live by your compass in your life, not by other people's. And then start evaluating things in your life that are totally not important. Every time you have an activity, go, is this serving my purpose? Is this serving my vision? And start operating from being driven by habit 2 or your vision or purpose in life. That's how you reduce the other quadrants, and all of a sudden quadrant 2 becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden your life is quadrant 2. You pay attention to all the items in quadrant 2 while they are not urgent. In other words, you don't procrastinate. Quit procrastinating. When you put things off, you create urgency. That's when you start moving from quadrant 2 to quadrant 1. You don't want that to happen. So you focus on things in quadrant 2, and you take care of them when they come up. So more organization, more planning, more structure. That's what keeps you focused and keeps you operating in quadrant 2. Learn to say no to things that are not important. No. That's what you learn to say. No. Similar to the fact, remember we talked about the greatest enemy of great is good. Again, you can keep busy, but if it's not important, it's not serving you. It's going to rob you of the greatness you have. So we need to say no to the popular things in quadrant 3 and no to the pleasure escapes in quadrant 4. And you can't do that if you don't have a bigger yes. So you have to have that vision and purpose. This gets back to if you don't have the purpose, if you don't have the core principle-driven values, you're not going to be able to say no to those things because you don't have a compass in your life. So it's not an issue of discipline, but rather an issue of your priorities have not become deeply painted in your hearts and minds. In other words, you haven't really internalized habit 2. That's why each of these habits grow in each other. And then the last part of the outline just talks to you about what a quadrant 2 planner needs to do. In other words, planner meaning if you're planning on a daily basis or a weekly basis, what do you need to look at in terms of planning your life to live in quadrant 2? And you can just go through some of these things. Coherence, you got to make sure that your daily your planner, you have a weekly, and the number one thing they tell you to do is work on a weekly planner. Because daily is too micromanaged. Weekly allows you to build all the balance in your life you need. So work on a weekly basis on your planner. In your planner, make your mission statement. Put it right smack in the front. So every single day, you open that, you work up your weekly planner, and there's your mission statement. You also need to list every role you play in life, because that's critically important. My roles, and this has made such a difference. My roles in life are manatecher. Okay, so that's my business. I'm a manatecher. I'm a mother. I'm an aunt. I'm a wife. I'm a director of a foundation. I'm a friend. I'm a sister. All the roles I play in life that are important to me. And then every single week when I plan out my week, I've got to look at every single of those roles and say, how am I supporting the roles I play? So I make sure that there's balance in my life. Am I talking to my kids every week? Am I dedicating time to my husband? Am I spending time on my foundation? What am I doing for my spiritual growth? What am I doing with my family members, my sister and my brother? How am I being a friend to people? I support all the roles I play. So many of you draft a business plan and you just operate from business. Well, you're missing the other B word. It's called balance. And you can't be effective without balance in your life. So you've got to do that. Schedule your priorities, not prioritize your schedule. In other words, you got it? Schedule your priorities, don't prioritize your schedule. We get so caught up in prioritizing our schedule, and I agree, and if you have a to-do list, you want to prioritize it, but the problem is we get so caught up in that we fail to put in our schedule the things that are our priorities in life. So make sure you keep your priorities straight. adding a people dimension to it. You need to have people involved, not just schedules of to-do lists, but people. Efficiency is dealing with time. Effectiveness is dealing with people. That's what you need to do. Okay, and make sure that your planner's not you're not a servant to your planner. Your planner is a servant to you, so that you are the master, right, of the planner. The planner is not a master to you. You've got to be the master of the planner. So that means it's for flexibility. You can make shifts and changes in it. And he also suggested you always carry your planner with you wherever you go. So anyway, so that's kind of that. I'm going to get off. There's a couple other things about delegation that you need to know, and delegation is huge, people, but I'll take everybody off of mute now and just close because we're a little bit past time. So hang on a second. I'll take us off mute. Okay, people, so everybody get what first things first are. Put in first things first. Does this help anybody? Anybody have some insight they want to share?
Wow.
Does it kind of make you change the way you look at how you plan your days and how you plan your time and your life?
Mary Jo,
yes.
That was just absolutely incredible. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mary Jo, I have a question. This is Luann.
Sure.
When you live in urgency mode, one of the other quadrants, how do you get to quadrant two?
Well, remember
when your
what
time
I talked
is
about.
Consumed with all of the other stuff.
Exactly, but you have to look at, okay, how do I take back control of my life? When if you're living in quadrant one, you're out of control. Is that correct? You guys know that. Everything
yep.
seems to be urgent. Everything is hectic. Everything, and that's number one is probably you're not planning. You're not sitting down with a weekly plan and saying, let's start outlining what life looks like for us. And you start carrying back and putting plans in place and being organized about your life. You don't just live life, wake up in the morning and say, okay, I'm going to let life, I'm going to let life control me. You're in a position to control life, and you're not stepping into that role. You're letting life control you. You're just like everything's bouncing around, hitting, bouncing off of you every day. You just, whatever hits you, you react to. You're in a total reactionary mode. What you need to do is start day one, start today and say, here's my week. If you spend 2 hours every Sunday night and say, here's my week, and just structure your week with your priorities in mind, what's most important to you? Look at your roles in your life. Structure, what am I doing with my spouse this week? What am I doing with my kids this week? What am I doing to be a better Christian this week? What am I doing to support my self-development? What am I doing with Manatech this week? You start taking control and structure your priorities in that weekly calendar. But you got to get rid of the urgency stuff. You create urgency stuff by not controlling your environment. You're letting the environment control you. Does that help you?
Yeah, I understand
okay.
the principle. I guess what my question or, you know, what my personal problem is that I've got so many of the things that have piled up that I could spend, a week on them and not get done with them, and then I'm another week behind.
So when do you ever see yourself getting out of this?
That's the problem.
Well,
you have to stop.
But the problem is what I'm hearing, Luann, from you, and trust me, you're a teacher of the moment for a lot of people on this phone call.
Hello, Sandra.
What I'm
we
hearing is
order.
Rather than trying to tackle it and just dedicating yourself, you see it's such a lost
you.
Cause that you're not even approaching it. And I'm going to suggest to you, you can tackle anything. If you just set your mind to it and go after it, it might take you a month to get the urgency out of your life. But what a life you'll live come July. Do you follow me?
Yes.
And you got to start tackling it right now. Don't keep putting it. We procrastinate, put off tackling the urgency and getting rid of it because we see it so overwhelming that we don't think that there's an end to it when there truly is.
Getting a big beer order today sometime.
Mary Jo?
Okay.
It's the same thing you're always telling about. How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? How do they tackle that problem?
Absolutely. And there could be, I don't care how, I'm telling you people, I do, let me give you some insight into this. I'm doing a teaching course now, free of charge, in my foundation. It's called How to Structure Your Financial Situation in a Godly Way. And I have people in this class that have the greatest nightmares you've ever seen on the face of the earth. I mean, I don't even want to, they got credit card debt, and they got this, and they got that, and they got that. And you know what? Their number one problem in their life is not their financial problem. Their number one problem in life is that they looked at it, and they didn't think they could tackle it, so they didn't do anything for the last 3-5 years. And they just, and I, you know, and I sit down with them, and I'm now working it out. I'm taking on the creditors, and we're doing a total workout plan for all of them, and it's wonderful. They look at me, and they go, you have brought new hope in my life. And I said, you could have brought this in your life, but you've got to understand your basic flaw is that you put it off. You procrastinated. You chose not to tackle it. We as people choose not to tackle problems in our life because we don't have the answers. I'm going to suggest to you that there's thousands and millions of answers out there. There are people with answers out there. What you need to do is surrender. Find people in your life. If you can't figure out an answer, find the people in your life that can support you, but get it done. Because otherwise, what is going to be on your tombstone? You're just robbing yourself of your entire purpose of being here by allowing the environment to control you. And you got to stop it and stop it now. And just make that commitment. Enough already. I love that terminology. Enough already. Okay?
Mary Jo, just a word of balance, and maybe this is totally off kilter, but when you're a young mother, I want to take the guilt off of young mothers of, say, newborns, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-year-olds, and they're at home. That is their core value. And they do respond to the urgent day in and day out because that's urgent. That's their children. So take the guilt off of having that area of their life controlling them.
But I'm not – if you choose that your core value at that time of your life is family, and you are saying that's my priority, you can still get out of quadrant one.
Louis, please mute.
You can still stay out of quadrant one, Melody. Quadrant one is crisis management. Children isn't crisis management. Are there going to be issues that come around our kids that are problem areas? Of course. But why are we viewing raising a child as crisis management? What is causing you to look at that as crisis management? What can we do around planning and structuring our days and our weeks that will support us in taking control back of that environment? Okay? So it's, and I agree with you, Melody, no one should go into guilt over any of this stuff. It's not, guilt doesn't serve you. Guilt never serves you. It doesn't serve you. What you need to do is you need to go into empowerment and say, wow, now I have a choice. I see that there is an out. I just need to step up and start doing it. And if I don't know how to tackle it, then let me do a three-way call with Mary. Let me get a hold of Mary Jo, or let me get a hold of somebody in my life. Let me go to church and find some people in my church that can support me. Quit being so, you know, I don't want anyone to know about my problems. I'm just going to keep hiding them. And, you know, get out of that. You are so worthy. You have such great purposes in life, each and every one of you. Start fulfilling them. But you can't when you have so much garbage and you're hanging out in crisis mode. You can't. So raising kids doesn't have to be crisis mode. It could be a beautiful, wonderful time of your life where you're totally dedicated to your kids. And kids create things in your life. We know that. Okay? Does that help a little bit? Yep. Okay, love you guys. Everybody have a great week. If you need some more work on this, you know, just look, just tack